Good. I hope you all had a good and nice and refreshing lunch break. And now it's time to have a look at the small group working in the mural that you did before the break. And I will share the mural board here. And as we can all see the notes that have been added there, I would like to hear from each group if there were specific comments you would like to share, or was it easy or difficult to get the ideas how to support these students? And we will start with Jan, who has difficulties in concentrating and also has mild dyslexia. So let's see who was at this. Aldo was in group number one, who the, this, and who else?
I think I'm alone.
Yeah,
That's
Maria
me.
Rita also was, but I think you are the one that will be presenting this. So yes, please.
So about Jan that have difficulties in concentrating, we think about provide recording lessons or allow extra time during a lesson to better understand, and also instead of oral task. Ask to write something or provide alternative modes for learning, and also allow him taking break when he feel, probably because he lost concentration, and also provide clear focus points. So also make sure that he understood extraction. And also podcast, I think was very useful for him. And also we think about other alternative modes for assessment, and also like other aspects or ideas, we talk about multitasking approach. So in different way to be more comfortable for him. And I don't know if it's good for you.
Yeah, I think that
And
sounds good. And as he has difficulties in concentrating and mild dyslexia, it's very important to provide these clear instructions. And for example, when you build a course in the Moodle, for example, to provide a clear structure so it's easy to navigate and easy to find material. And it's also often very useful to divide content to smaller units or kind of make smaller steps for the students. So kind of start with this and next do that, because it then helps to keep the track on what you have to do. Yeah, very good points. Antonio has raised his hand, please go ahead. We cannot hear you.
So I think yeah, he has some problem with smartphone probably.
Yeah.
So we talk about Sam because the other group stole us Anna.
Was a lot of crying and fighting, but we managed to solve this problem. Yes.
So about Sam that have social anxiety and panic disorders. We talk about the difficulties to have students like this in class. So about this, we talk about practical activities in very small groups to be more confident with him, or video lesson. And we talk also about one-to-one teaching. In some cases, very difficult to organize this kind of lesson one-to-one, but is a possibility. And also provide no competitive elements in teaching for him. And also keep positive and hold the distance because probably with panic, distance is a problem for him. And also about assessment, don't publish assessment results. and also improve adaption and familiarization, and no basic relaxation techniques. So is I think in this case is an hard work for teachers, also for him, but also teachers are in difficulties to keep attention about this kind of problem for students.
Yeah, thank you. Antonio, can you hear us? Because we cannot hear you. But maybe you can use the chat if in case you cannot communicate. And once again, this is an excellent demonstration of accessibility issues. Yes, you cannot hear. Yes. Probably something to do with the mobile app or so. Yes, but if we go back to Sam, so yes, I think these are very, very good notes that you have put here. And in cases like this, it's very much about how to build a safe atmosphere for the student. For example, if it's an online course, then do you force the students to keep the web camera on, or could he have it off and have kind of less social pressure, and also have flexibility in assessment? For example, if in the course you should do an oral presentation, or like a group work, an oral presentation in front of others, could he, for example, pre-record the presentation and then share it with others, or do some other mode of assessment if this is a really real no-go? Because we don't know for sure what would be the best solution. We have to kind of negotiate with the students what would make him feel comfortable. For example, this already could be enough that it doesn't have to be a live presentation, but could share a presentation, and maybe an online presentation without his face on the webcam. Maybe even that would be okay for him. But yeah, good points that you had here. Are there any comments from the group number 2, or Ineta? You were not here in the morning session, but just a short briefing for you. The group breakout room sessions were about these examples of students with special education needs and disabilities, and the groups had to find solutions to support their learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. Or Ellie?
Yeah, Ellie, you're here too. Yes, go ahead.
Hello, I'm sorry that I wasn't here when you have done these interactive activities, but I already read the cases that you put, the case of Sam, and I could add that maybe if we think about the personalization in teaching and learning, so if we know better our students. I know that it is so complicated in university when you have like numbers like 150, 200. But if we consider their different needs, not just the special needs students, but also their needs in general, how we are different also teachers from one from the other one. The thing that to be able to accept this challenge, because it's a challenging issue, we can't, I always think about this, that we can't have them all. So the most people we have with us, I mean, the microphones on, the webcams on, this should be the main goal, but we can't maybe have them all like 100%. But the best we know of them, and the more strategies, more different strategies of teaching we have, I think we can just enrich our way of teaching. Like we can once use videos, we can use different kind of materials. So I think the digital technologies can help it, but it starts by knowing well our students. If we know them well, we can offer different alternatives, because sometimes also the different channels of learning that they have, the styles of their learning is different than each other. So for one student, videos can work, with the others, audio can work. So maybe having many resources at our use, at our disposition, can help it. But I know that it is so difficult. So maybe sometimes insisting on that, that they could participate or turn the camera on. I always think that informal approach to this, like, come on, you can do it, can work, but it can also have a negative effect. It depends on the case that we have. So maybe, as you are, my colleagues wrote here, small group activities can help them, you know, have a less level of being shy. Maybe they can just have much more space in small group activities, but starting from some individual activities, because maybe very shy students can also not participate in group activities, but they can contribute by working alone. So maybe giving them this time and space, and then letting them know that their participation is indispensable. Like, they are not just a member of the group, but without them, we can't do this. So giving them this, encouraging them. I don't know. I know that this is too much theory that I'm talking about, but if we really believe in personalizing the teaching or innovating the way that we teach, we should believe in also these aspects of, I know it is more than having the technical methodological competences. It is more like being an artist of the situation for a teacher, but we should consider that teaching is not just a science, but it is also something that has human being at the center of it. So the aspect of being an artist here, we should also consider. So sorry if I talk maybe other than I should, but this is what I think is the solution.
I think you are very, very well on the line with the things that I was talking in the morning, because this is also about trust and safety and kind of encouraging the students. And sometimes, as I said, we may not know before, like beforehand, what is the right amount of pressure or support or courage, but we can kind of try and learn. And as I already said, that ask the students, they are the experts in it. When you discuss with them, and it starts with the mutual trust that they actually share their situation with you, because of course you can't support them if you don't know that this would be a definitely no-go to participate in a group work and give a presentation. So yes, absolutely. And this, for example, good.
Okay.
Oh, we can hear you, Antonio. Yeah, no. You managed to fix it.
sorry. Yeah. Okay, that's a bit.
Yes, good. Yeah. So this is pretty much. Like I was going to say, that for some, for example, it could be a possibility to try these group activities in small, safe groups where he feels safe, and then kind of be encouraged step by step. But as we discussed, the students are individuals, and you never know what is the correct amount. But yes, good points here to help Sam. And for students like Sam, as I already mentioned, that this online learning might even be easier for them to participate, because then you don't have to go to an auditorium with 200 unknown students and feel the social pressure, but you can be at home, you can feel comfortable and safe, you don't necessarily have to have the webcam on, and you don't have to open your mouth or do such things, but you can concentrate on the teaching and feel less stressed, because as we know, stress doesn't really help learning. So if you feel fear and stress. Good, thank you. Anything to add to help Sam and his teachers? Antonio, I don't know if it's a new or old hand that is up.
No, it's an old one. Sorry, because I didn't know what to do before, so I just put my hand. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. It was the cry for help.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, good. Okay, thank you. And then let's continue to the second group who had these.
Excuse me, Maria. Yeah? Maria. Did you speak about some only some until now?
We spoke about Jan, the first one as well.
Can I see something about Jan?
Yeah, you can access the mural. Yeah? And I can share it.
Okay. Yes. I can.
Yeah, you see the in the mural. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Copy paste the link to the chat.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Good. So let's go to Anna, who is a student with visual impairment, and she uses her computer with a screen reader and a keyboard. So those from the group number two, would you be kind to share what you discussed concerning Anna's situation? We have Tija and Francesco here from the second group.
Yes. Okay, we discussed a bit about the situation, Anna. We proposed a different approach. As regards the organization teaching, we thought mainly in using presentation without many colors, and also trying to include maybe also audio files. And of course, the size of the font could be also important. So in this case, we should try to increase the size of the font and also put as less sentences we can put. So essential maybe keywords, and after try to speak more during the presentation. And as regards the methods for completing the course, we talked about, for example, oral discussion instead of a written test. And also more time during the summer, so trying to facilitate in some way the situation. And finally, as regards the interaction guidance, maybe PDF that can be automatically read it. So, and also we also wrote maybe so supporting all the course, providing all the material that can allow her to easily understand the all the content of the course. And finally, as regards the other aspect, maybe we thought about supporting a supporting person, no? That could be also another student that can help her sometimes that can facilitate her to perceive some part of the lesson, no? Support her during the lesson. So I don't know if Tija wants to add something.
No, exactly. No, everything was perfect.
Thank you. Yeah. And there was one note added. I think Elif did it on the run, which is great. You can put notes here when you get the idea. So
sorry, guys, I don't know which group I was assigned, but I just wanted to add something. Even though you said a collaboration with Anna Skalik, maybe asking someone the explanation, you know, that peer learning is something that works at all ages. Maybe the audio files that we will provide won't have the same effect as we'll have a colleague's explanation, like, because they are talking the same language. And the way that a colleague of Anna understood the subject would help Anna better to summarize, to highlight the most important part of the topic and the subject, the argument. So I think peer learning, but not like assigning always the same colleague to her, sometimes making not just group activities, but in pair activities, like two students can work together, not just for Anna, but for other students as well, just to, you know, compare the ideas, share the way that they think about the subject, could help the explanation of a colleague better than the teacher's explanation. Maybe it is much more clear and basic for Anna.
Yes, exactly. And this is actually a very important point, because the studies have shown that peer support is very important channel for students with special needs and disabilities, regarding both like peers with students with challenges, and also other students like peer course mates as well. And I can imagine that in some cases it's much easier to ask for help the other students than go to the professor and reveal that you haven't really been able to follow the course. So this is very good. And if you kind of in a gentle way provide the social network and support for students, it really is a good idea. Thank you, Ellie, for sharing this. And also in this description of Anna, I didn't clarify how severe this visual impairment is. Can she see at all, or can she see something? Or as I demonstrated in the morning lesson, these different kinds of problems with seeing. So in case she can see something, it's very often a good idea to provide the materials online to her beforehand, so it's easier for her to follow the lecture than, for example, if it's an auditorium and she, even if she's in the first row, she can't really see what the slides are, what is on the slides. And then also, because she uses a screen reader, then it's important to have a proper navigation and structure, and use these styles, like headings are marked as headings in documents, because then it makes it easier to navigate when using a screen reader. And then you can't always, if you would like to, for example, create in a Moodle an exam where you have to drag and drop for example definitions and their explanations, you can't do that because she won't be able to do it with a screen reader. But that you can, of course, do the same idea, but just do it differently. But this kind of issues, it's important to take into account. And I already want to say now, before we move to Sofia, that this is very good idea that in some of these students' cases, you have brought up the possibility to provide extra time during exams or whatever mode of assessment you are using. That's very good, because even it works for many cases. For example, if you're a slow reader and slow writer, or if you feel extremely stressed on the exam situations, or for example, if you don't see or hear well, then it's usually helps that you have extra time. It takes the extra pressure away from you as well. But thank you. Anything to add to Anna's situation before we go to Sofia? And if something comes to your mind, please feel free to add these notes to all students. here. So then we had Sophia, and it was good when I was first showing this mural, someone was asking that what is the case with her. It's interesting that it's also very important and politically sensitive what definitions you use of students with challenges or how they want to be called. So for example, I could have written here that she's deaf, but it seems to be that saying that I'm hard of hearing is more the way that they want to address this situation. And also her mother tongue is sign language. So this is also something that, for example, if you're assessing how they write, that you have to take into account that this is their second or third language that they are using, even if it's your mother tongue. But yes, please, group number two, how did you help and support Sophia in her studies?
Okay, now I think it will be my turn. Yes, here we also decided that regarding organizing the teaching activities, video files about the course topics would be very helpful. Because she can get visual information better, and also flowcharts and can be used, and also presentations with a lot of pictures, with the pictures which explains the topic much better, and she also, of course, she can read then the pictures and gets better the content, and then also the writing should be clear and complete sentences, so that text can be as good explanation to the to pictures. And then regarding communication and interaction process, it would be necessary to use a repetition, because repetition in this case is could be very helpful, and teachers who are working with students who have hearing problems, they should be ready to repeat as much as possible, because their perception works so that at the very beginning, the first time they get the problem in very general terms, and then if you should explain something very very specific, you should repeat that, and then maybe you repeat even the third time, because then this perception goes together with cognitive processes like memory and also thinking, and so then also after that, or after the cycle has finished, so only then they can get the complete picture of the topic. That's why it's necessary also to provide links to video resources with subtitles, because if you have small movie, so people cannot hear, so they need subtitles, of course, just to get the better understanding of all this. And about the methodology for the completing the course, it's again, like you, Mary, said, that also for people with visual impairment, it's necessary to provide additional time. And of course, here in this case also, it would be very, very helpful. And also tests should be in written form. In other aspects, of course, we had discussion about how she can get the information, and in this case, if she is using sign language, so it's necessary to have a person who is a so-called surd translator or surd interpreter, who is interpreter to sign language, and also peer learning activities could be very helpful, and this support from the group of students, and and augmented reality also could work very probably very well. So yeah, this is our discussion and what we have designed here. Thank you. Maybe Francesco, you have something to add? No.
It was perfect for me how you explained.
okay. Yes.
Thank you very much for this. In Jyväskylä University, we actually have the Institute for the Finnish Sign Language. We are training the Finnish Sign Language teachers. So I've had many times students or even staff members on my trainings who then come with the interpreters and my lectures are then translated to sign language. And they often ask to provide the materials beforehand so they can kind of check the vocabulary that they will know what they are. I will be talking and they will be then interpreting. And now that we are online, then captions on videos would work perfectly for her. And then depending on the language, for example, these live captions in Teams or are they even in Zoom, but anyway, might work. And also if there are group works, then we need to consider how she communicates with the group at the group works.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. This was very, very good. And I think there were did I see correctly that there were new notes added as well here. So that's very, very good. You can comment and add here more ideas also. Anything someone would like to comment on Sofia's case or any of these personas? Elif, yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to say that when there are some very specific disabilities, I think a teacher alone cannot do some miracles. You know, you can be so well prepared with the different strategies, different approaches to your teaching, but you can't be a magician sometimes. Yes. So this is why yes. I think you need to help institutions, universities, schools support, but in a very revolutionary way. I mean, like if you need some tools that can help to these students. So I think this is a great collaboration of all other staff members of the university. So we have to be, I think, very realistic. A teacher alone cannot do everything. I mean, like I can't be able to speak the sign language. I can't do it. I mean, so we can offer different strategies. We can help them engage more. But I think this is not a one-man work. So you have to be supported by your institution to do something. Like I think in the case of Sofia, it depends if she hears, can hear a little bit, maybe you can do something more like repeating or giving her extra time to complete the task. But if she's not hearing at all, you need some resources, tools, robotics, or something like maybe you are not prepared for. So it is a, I think, a very revolutionary collaboration to really help Sofia, because we can't just pretend that Sofia can understand 20% of the things that we said. No, she has the right to understand 100% of the things that we should provide. So this is why I think institutions, universities, schools could be very well prepared to this, because every year I can see that the disabilities and the complexity of the disabilities are something that is getting much more crucial than before. So we have to be prepared as teachers, but not we can't fight with it alone. So
yes, absolutely. You were not I'm not sure if you were there in the morning session when I pointed out that these higher education institutes need a clear strategy and policies for accessibility. They need the support system and the accessibility applies to all staff. This is very important points. Thank you for this, because you cannot do it alone. And it really starts from the beginning of this learner's path when she enters higher education studies. It's really, really, really crucial. And that's true. The numbers of students with special education needs and disabilities in higher education, they are growing all the time. And as I said, there are many reasons for it. Some of them that they are easily diagnosed and revealed, but also it seems to be that there are many kinds of problems that the students do have, and not to forget the mental problems that seems to be that they haven't really
gone sorry, anywhere. Maria, can I add something? Maybe yes. It will be a repetition of the things that you said, but maybe in Italy, I'm not an Italian, but I know that I've been living here like for 10 years so far. So I know that there are special needs teachers for at all level of education, like starting from the pre-primary to high school. But at university, you don't have a special need teacher for the students, because it is something that people think you have the autonomy in learning at university. So there are not special needs teachers at university. There are sometimes some organizations that can, offer some support, like an educator can support or a volunteer can support students. For example, I had some students with serious physical disabilities, and they were supported physically and in didactic ways by some volunteers, but they were not trained to teach them something. So it is always the teacher alone to give this formation training to our students. So maybe there should be in policy level should be something that, like, also at university there should be special needs teacher or much more attention to this topic.
Yeah,
very good point. Yes.
May I say something?
Yes, Antonio, go ahead.
I want to first of all, my impression when I saw this situation in front of this group practicing. It was a difficulty. I was really in difficulty, but then by using our brains, we were able to do, I think, a very good job. And I think, for example, for that girl, that boy that has a problem when he was together with a lot of people, so he needs to be only with the teacher, or maybe this is a... For example, we are not doctors, we are teachers, but in this case, we can test some new situation in order to understand which is the seriousness of the problem of that student. Because, for example, for that student, we can try with the one lesson teacher and student. Then if he's okay, it will be okay. We can try together with another student with him and the teacher and so on until we can understand which is the limit. Maybe we will realize that when we reach five students together with him and the teacher, he gets some problems, you know. But this is a way of testing teaching. That's really an opportunity that we have. Yeah, we are not insegnanti di sostegno, support teachers. This figure is missing in Italy, unfortunately. I agree with Elif. But anyway... even if I had the luck not to having this kind of situation, but this practicing is very useful because they are really extreme situation. I never thought about it. Thank you very much. But...
You're welcome, and thank you, Antonio. This is because I think the more you are prepared for this, and this is very good. Point that also Elif brought up, we shouldn't even expect miracles from the teachers, and there should be the support system for this, and you shouldn't be there alone thinking about this. And if I think about the individual arrangements that have been made for students here in our home university, it's not necessarily anything extreme. It's like, for example, the right to keep the books from the university library 2 weeks longer, or to get the access to the national e-books library, which is specialized in creating e-books like the books that are read aloud, like audio books of your studies, what you need, or for example, the right to write the exams with a computer, or to have a longer time for exams. It's something like this. So, and it's nothing extreme or extremely hard to organize, but if this helps their, supports them in their studies and kind of takes the pressure away from them. And when the students get this paper, that this, it's something that we, it's called a suggestion for individual arrangement. It's something that it's a must, but it's a suggestion from the university. It doesn't have any diagnosis on it. So when you take the paper to the teacher and show it that I have the right to ask, or it's a suggestion that I should get the presentation slides 2 days earlier so I can follow them at the lecture or something like, or before the lecture, not 2 days, but before the lecture, something like this. It doesn't, the diagnosis is not written there. So the teacher doesn't know, it's up to your privacy. It doesn't know why, but it's just, the teacher sees that this is an official paper saying that this university support services suggest things like this. These would help the student in his studies, but something like this. So I think this is something that we do with small things. We can do already a lot, and for some students, this small step for a teacher, but big gently for a student, may even be that you say in the beginning of the course that please let me know if you have any special needs for the support, then we can see how I can help you. Or if you provide, for example, a quiz in the beginning of the course in the Moodle, and there, one of the questions is that, is there something that I should know to be able to support you in this course better or so? So for example, if someone is a slow reader or writer and needs more time in the exam, so you kind of invite them to share their situation, then it's up to them if they feel safe and trust enough to share this. But I would say it's just a step by step, so we won't save the world in one day, but do small things that might then kind of create the atmosphere that we can actually then provide help for the students. And I think this mural now is a good example that now you have here some ideas. And if you later on there is a student coming to you and saying that she has a panic disorder and feels very uncomfortable giving oral presentations in front of others, then you can check that what kind of ideas your colleagues here shared for the course. Okay, so thank you for this. You have done excellent work in such a short time. And now I think this is pretty much about the accessibility for today. We have been now talking about the empowerment of learners from this accessibility point of view. And I hope I have given you input and things to probably new ideas and things to consider when you're designing and redesigning your course. And now I will give the turn to Liisa. What will be the next step that we do now?
Yes, thank you, Maria, and thank you, everybody. Excellent work and good discussions today, as well as earlier days. We are about to have the first quiz of the day. So as like earlier days, we always have this small quiz after the lesson and see what you have learned. So I'll paste the address to the Menti. So we'll be using Menti again. So there's the address of the Menti. Please go there and I'll start the quiz in a moment. Okay. Okay, I have 7 people already.
Which is the code?
The address is in the chat. Go to the chat, you just click the link and you get in. You don't need the code. Okay.
Okay, because I have to do it. Thank you.
Okay, is everybody in? Okay, now I have 8 people. Okay, you're all in. Okay. Okay, ready, steady, go. First question.
Oh my God, I didn't put my name. Sorry. It's smartphone. Okay.
Okay, something to still learn about accessibility.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one.
Jesus. Smartphone is bad.
Okay, good. And the next one. Okay, good. And then we have the last question about this theme. Okay, and the winner of today's quiz is, that was close, but it was Ineta. Congratulations, Ineta.
Wow, well done.
I just went through quickly, Maria, your presentation in a break.
Wow, that's so you have a fresh memory. Well done, you're a quick learner.
Yeah.
I think we get a different winner every day.
Or, yeah, I think
so. If I remember right, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good, great, thank you. So now we have... gone through all the themes of the digital competence for educators framework that was planned for this training, and now we only have to go through the next steps of this training before the wrap-up seminar. And Maria and I, we would suggest that if we just looked at the next steps right here, not without a break, so we'll be able to then finish a bit earlier today, if that's okay for you. So let's go straight to the next steps. I have one slide. Just a minute. I just can find it somewhere. A minute. I thought I had it open already. Too many windows open. Here I have. Okay. Let's try again. Here. So now you'll see one slide saying final draft of your course design. So your next task is to go back to your original course design or your module design. It depends how big a part you have chosen to be your plan for this training. And finalize your plan, either using this backward design approach that was presented on Tuesday, but it is optional. So if you feel that the backward design is not for you this time, for example, somebody already explained that they have the teaching starting so soon that it's not possible to kind of flip everything around to suit this backward design, that's perfectly okay. So in your presentation, justify your decision, however, if you decided to use backward design or if you didn't use it. So a couple of sentences just saying that, why did you choose it? Why did you think it would suit your plan here? Or if it doesn't, explain that as well. Choose the mode of your presentation. So the idea is that you share your finalized draft of your plan by 18th of April. And you also make a small presentation of your plan, explaining the things that are listed. You can see on the slide, what was the most valuable in using backward design approach, or why didn't you use it? And something about your course or your module plan. It can be a short video recording. It can be just text explaining your plan, or you can make a couple of slides, a mind map. What do you think would best suit your case to present your plan? And be clear and concise. We don't need any scientific presentations or abstracts of your plan. A short video or a couple of pages of text or a couple of presentation slides. So that's the other task for you. And all this, share these by Monday or at latest the Monday 18th. Because then after that, we have another week where you are going to give peer feedback to two other participants' presentations and plans. We haven't paired you yet or decided yet who is going to give feedback to whom, but we'll do that in the following days, and we'll then upload the list of peer feedback pairs or groups into the Moodle course space. And I could now show you or share the Moodle course space, and I'll show you where we are going to be working next. But do you now have questions about this tasks that you have? Has everybody already done the template to the first mural, to the introduction mural that we...
Just a question, mm-hmm. because I saw that the presentation of these will be on the 22nd of April.
27th is the wrap-up seminar.
27th. Mm-hmm. Okay, because at that time I will start my courses. So then if I can send just, if I'm not able to participate, if I can send the video or a video to describe So
we can share
with Moodle. Okay.
To share in the Moodle site.
Okay, thank you.
I'll share the Moodle site now. So so here we have this training's Moodle course space. And here when you scroll down, here is the section independent work from 1st to 18th April. And here you have the same instructions that I just showed you. Here is also an eTivity template. This is contributed by the Italian team of trainers, so Steph and Pan. So this is a template that you can use for your course plan. And then we have a discussion area here. This is where you are going to share the plan of your course or your module. So this is just add a new discussion topic and then if you have the slideshow or text document, or if you have a video somewhere, you can put the link to the video here in this discussion forum. And this is also where you give the feedback then to the person that you are assigned to. For example, if Francesco is being assigned to give feedback to Ineta first adds her topic, her plan here, and then Francesco reads it through and then kind of a replies to Ineta's post saying that, okay, I thought that your plan was DDDDD. So that's the way. So the feedback is visible to everybody, but you just don't have to give feedback to everybody. You are assigned certain participants you give feedback to. Any questions about this? Stefania, can you do you want to add something about the eTVT template?
Yes, sure. Thank you, Lisa. I would like to point your attention to the fact that, as we said, during the other days of the workshop, you have the opportunity to try out this new approach, the backward design approach. So that's the reason why, I mean, you can also decide to just design activities and use your traditional approach, design approach for all your module or your teaching. And so just pick up the ETVT script that, as you will see, I mean, it's just a way to be sure that all the elements are covered. And also, decide to go more broad and decide to redesign a module, an entire module. As you can see, we haven't put more than this because, I mean, we understand that it's very challenging. And even to design an entire module, maybe look using the backward design. But as I said, it would be very much, you're here also during your independent work. So if you have any questions, just post on the forum, as Lisa has shown you, and we will definitely try to come back to you very soon and support you also during the independent work, mostly regarding, the topic. And the other advice that we would like to share is about trying out. I mean, if you decide that there are no conditions yet to apply the backward design, another suggestion is that you can try to include in one of your traditional activity one of the elements that you've been, you know, looking into through these days, the accessibility, I mean, the way to engage students, just to, I mean, as an opportunity to put in into practice some of the elements that you have been looking into during this day. Just, I mean, just this very few final input, if I may, and thank you.
Thank you, Stefania. And we'll be posting more instructions in the Moodle site in announcements. And if you have any questions, please free to post your questions or send an email to us if you have questions about how to proceed. There was also a question from one participant about the recordings of these sessions and where they can be found. So if you were not able to locate them, I'll just quickly show where in the Moodle they are. So in each day's section, we have each day in their own section, and we have here a folder, slides, video, and audio files. And if you click that open, it's a bit slow again, okay. So here you have the recording, the link to the recordings. So the recordings are not physically in Moodle, but we have a link to the recordings. The recordings are in our university's platform. So this is where you can find them. In each day's folder, and here, and today's recordings will be there later today or by tomorrow morning, the latest. And as I said earlier, when we started this morning, there was a problem in my connection yesterday afternoon, so unfortunately the first part of the presentation was corrupted, so I couldn't upload it, but I'll try to sort it out somehow.
Lisa, there is a question I thought from Ineta. No, she raised her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Maybe I would like to clarify. There is a three templates under the one ETVT template. Is it mandatory to fulfill all of them, or we can choose which is the best, which fits to our personality more?
Absolutely, you can choose. And as I said, I mean, you can also modify the template. Mm-hmm. It's just to provide you, you know, a basis that more or less reflects all the elements that we've seen. But absolutely feel free to, I mean, adapt, choose, modify, mm-hmm. as you deem necessary.
Okay. Thank you.
More questions, anybody?
And there on the day four's folder, there's already the recording that I mentioned in the morning of the Office, Microsoft Office Checker. And there's this morning's session is already shared as a recording as well.
So the following 2 weeks, you work independently on your course or module plans, and you share them by 18th of April. And then okay. After that, you have a week to read through other participants' plans and give feedback to these participants that you will be assigned to, and we'll put the list of who is giving feedback to whom later.
Okay.
In the following days to Moodle. And the wrap-up seminar is Wednesday morning, 27th of April at 9:00 Central European time. And we have a two-hour session then, and we have kind of a roundtable discussion then about your plans. Okay. Good. All right. We are a bit ahead of our schedule now, so it's time for final exam. You're going to take a final exam of all the things that you have been listening now? This week. Yes, now. Now.
How long does it take?
A few minutes.
Ah, okay. Because I have to go to lessons in 15 minutes.
It says, yeah. It's a short one. Okay. I'll share it in Menti again. And I'll share the link.
Good luck, everyone. Tough competition ahead of you.
Okay, there's the link, and I start the presentation. Okay, everybody's in. Okay, well done. Okay, this is the situation after the first question. The next one. Okay, Aldo and Antonio are now leading. Okay, Anthony is doing great, but Ineta is right behind you. And still Antonio and Ineta leading. Okay, and the last one. Okay, and the winner is Aldo.
As
you can see, this was not a real final exam. We just wanted to have something fun in the end. And since the Easter is approaching, we decided to have an Easter quiz. And the last, I was amazed that everybody knew that the last question was, it is a traditional Finnish Easter dessert. It's called mämmi. And it is made of rye and malt, I think. So it's kind of a malty dessert, kind of a pudding. It's something that very much divides people. Either you like it or you don't like it. I don't like it. So some people say that if you have enough of cream or a vanilla sauce with it, then it goes down. But that's our traditional Easter dessert. So that was something for fun. But then one last Mentimeter. We want to have your feedback on today's themes. So I'll share yet another Menti link. And then I put the presentation on. And wow, full points, not quite, almost. Okay, has everybody answered the moral? The Menti? Okay, now I have 6.
Okay.
Okay, good. Thank you. Very good feedback. So I think this is all for today and for this intensive week. Do you have any comments or questions for us?
Here, 1:15 Sicilian Central Time and the sunny weather.
Okay. Good for you.
Good for you. Okay. Good for you. I missed the lessons. Thank you so much. Sorry for my gaps, but I try to fill in as soon as possible. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Antonio. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye to everybody. Bye.
Bye. And thank you,
Antonio.
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay. If you don't have any questions or comments, we are thanking you for your active participation today and for the whole week, and we'll see in our wrap-up seminar then on the 27th.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you
everyone.
Bye-bye.
Have a nice day. Bye-bye.